From the Epistle of St. Peter, the rock on which the church is built, he writes these words to his church and to the whole church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead and to an inheritance which is imperishable, eternal. Well, New Year's is a time when everyone in the media, most of the folks in our families, everybody we meet, takes a little time to reflect. You know, what's the year been? What has happened? What's changed? What things are we celebrating? What things have we lost? And look ahead. You know, what changes are on the horizon? What might we be faced with this coming year, uniquely or as an ongoing set of concerns? The focus seems to be on all of the changes that have happened and all the changes that are on the horizon. Well, I dig in my heels a little bit. I want to find out what doesn't change, what we can count on, and what we know will be as it's been. That list keeps getting shorter. I found myself thinking back. We'd gone to Washington, D.C. several times in the course of our lives, but fairly recently, the last time we were there, we did what most people do, put high on the list some time at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and then as long as you're at Arlington Cemetery, stop for a moment at the gravesite of John Kennedy and the Kennedy family. And at that gravesite, they have what they call an eternal flame, the eternal flame. That doesn't change. The lights go up, the lights go down on the rest of our lives, but metaphorically, the eternal flame stays on. Well, the biblical concept of eternal, that is, you know, the entire history of the universe, both to this point and beyond, that notion of eternity is a whole lot more lengthy and complicated than the eternal flame at the gravesite of John Kennedy, which is simply an engineering project. Yes, there's a flame that doesn't go out, but it's fed by an underground pipe, and there's a propane tank that feeds the fuel, and so on. And it's an eternal flame only in the sense that every once in a while somebody has to refuel the propane tank to get the thing to continue to burn. But it's a metaphorical notion to me. What is it that fuels what might be called an eternal flame among God's people, an eternal flame of hope? St. Peter talks about being born anew to a living hope. What is it in a changing universe that maybe unchangeably fuels what I call the eternal flame of hope among God's people? Well, I think, first of all, the eternal flame of hope is fueled by our memories, by the stories that have been told about us, to us about others, the stories of our own experiences, the stories of our own learning, growth, and development. Everything we learn how to do is taught to us in terms of what we already know. We learn the unknown in terms of the known. And what we know, well, those are the stories. I was thinking both literally and metaphorically about, as a child, playing with Tinker Toys. Those were all the rage as I was growing up. That was the hot toy to have. I don't think you had to line up at midnight to get them. But anyway, they were sticks and blocks of wood is all it was, with holes in them. You could put things together. You could make tiny little motorcycles. You could build skyscrapers. And of course, you know, you learn how to build the big stuff by building the little stuff. And Tinker Toys now have given way to Legos, and Legos may well take over the universe before we're done. I don't know. But the point is, you learn how to build larger things, more important things, by having figured out how to build the small stuff. And I think metaphorically, building with Tinker Toys or Legos, and it's similar in a sense to building relationships. I mean, we all grew up in families with whom we had significant relationships, and as we grow, we learn the value of that and apply it to what becomes significant relationships for us. And in middle school, we fall in love, not typically with the person who becomes our life partner. And having built even meaningful relationships through our school years, what makes those relationships grow and flourish, as well as what kills them, are things that we learn and apply as relationships grow. We even learn to be life partners with people by having first built friendships in the schoolyards, going steady in middle school, and so on. So what fuels the eternal flame of hope, because it is in relationships, I think, that we find a great deal of hope, are the stories of our early lives, the ways we learned to build with Legos and to build relationships. The eternal flame of hope, which does not depend on outcome. Hope transcends outcome. Because the second thing, I think, that fuels the eternal flame of hope are the occasional successes we have in our lives. The occasional successes. We've had some good things happen to us in the previous year. They haven't all been good, but, you know, we have won. I remember, again, as a kid, reading the newspaper comic strip, The Born Loser. Do you still read that? It's now being written by the son of the guy that first invented The Born Loser. And The Born Loser just walked around with a cloud over his head. Nothing seemed to go right, except every 3 or 4 months, I was really taken with this. Things would happen in the first couple panels of the strip. In the last panel, old sorry Brutus would look out and smile and say, "Occasionally I win one. Occasionally I win one." He's sort of the same as the character in sort of Jewish tradition, the two parallel characters, the Shlemiel and the Shlemazel. The Shlemiel runs around spilling soup on people, and the Shlemazel is the one that gets the soup spilled on him. Well, occasionally the soup misses, and occasionally we win one. That keeps us going. It's this sort of sporadic, not quite random, positive reinforcement in life. The people that run casinos make a living off of this. They want you to win now and then. If you won all the time, they'd go broke. If you never won, you'd never come back. But the quickest way, the most effective way to get a group of people to do the same thing over and over again is to, every once in a while, reward them for doing it. Now, we succeed more than just every once in a while. And that's what fuels, it seems to me, the eternal flame of hope. It doesn't always work out where we wind up second or next to last and so on. Occasionally, we win one. And it doesn't take a lot of reflection, I don't think, to look back on the previous year and, yeah, you know, things worked out really well a couple of times. Not always, but enough to keep me going. The eternal flame of hope is fueled by our stories and memories, and by the successes that keep us coming back. And finally, the eternal flame of hope, I think, is fueled by the evidence of our collective resilience. We have really figured out, and we figured this out more, I think, collectively, even than individually, we have figured out how to cope with adversity. And we figured out how to cope with adversity by relying on other people to offer us support, to offer us love, to buy us lunch, to tell us what they did when they walked in our shoes. And that is what I would call the ministry of those who are one with Christ in the body of Christ. The resilience that we show individually is the result of being collectively connected to other people in this church is one example of that. I've been here, this will be 20 years for me coming up at the end of this year, and there's not a person in this room, including me, that has not been on the prayer list at least once or more than once. And in so doing, they have become the focus of our consciousness and concern. The stories that have landed them there have become witnesses to resilience. So the thing, among the many things that fuel the eternal flame of hope, memories and stories, the occasional success, but more than that is the resilience that we see and experience and can count on as members one of the body of Christ. Which, of course, is what Peter is talking about. Every New Year's Eve, day, Sunday after, well, that's when we hit the reset button. And we're, in effect, born again into the next year. Now, that's a phrase that has a lot of religious connection, being born again. People will give testimony to having a very powerful experience, memorable moment in their lives when they were, in effect, born again and have dedicated their lives to service in a new way. More generically, the concept of rebirth in Christ, if you will, is tied to baptism. Whether that happens to people as individuals who are infants or who are at midlife or as adults, we use the initiation rite of baptism to identify and ratify and reinforce what we know is true about everyone. That whether we are occupationally identified this way or by name identified this way, the overarching identity is as a member of the body of Christ. Born anew, baptized into a community, is what creates the eternal flame, fueled and fed by our individual stories and contributions, by our witnesses to prevailing and succeeding, and maybe most importantly, by bearing witness to what happens the next day after our worst day. The next day, we are born anew to a living hope as one with Christ, members of the body of Christ, right now and for eternity. Amen.